Hi, my name is Bridget Hardy, and these are Stories of Encounter. While in formation for the permanent diaconate, Greg Hall had an incredibly unexpected experience while in a drive-thru at a McDonald's restaurant in Chile. At the age of 46, Greg's subtle kindness and awareness of serving a homeless man requesting to get something to eat allowed him to have an encounter of a lifetime, one that still brings him to tears. Greg Hall was born in Satellite Beach, Florida, near an Air Force base. His father was a Strategic Air Command officer in the Air Force, so his family moved around a lot. Greg spent most of his life living in Omaha, Nebraska. Greg attended college at Texas A&M University and is currently a deacon at Christ the Redeemer Catholic Church in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston.
I was born in Florida in a place called Satellite Beach, which is near Air Force Base. So my father was in the Air Force. And I grew up all over the country, spent most of my time in Omaha, Nebraska, because he was in what's called Strategic Air Command, but we moved a lot. And then in 1971, he was sent over to Vietnam. And my family was from here. My mother and father are Houstonians. And so we came here for the 18 months while he was over there. And we lived down in El Lago, which is near NASA. And then he came home and we spent another year in Nebraska. And then he retired. And so we moved out here in 73. And I've been here ever since.
In Houston.
In Clear Lake area near Kima. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
And so I've been there since 73.
Okay, great. And then how did you get over to Houston?
Well, I went to Texas A&M University. I met my beautiful wife, Angie, there. And she's a native Houstonian from Aldine. And we ended up getting married in 1982. In fact, it'll be 35 years at the end of this month. And moved over to the Greens Point area. And so, you know, we went from there over to the Sugar Land area. To then about 23 years ago, we moved out here to Fairfield. And that's what brought us to Christ Redeemer.
Great. And you were telling me a little bit about the story about how you got into the diaconate, which I
yes.
think is so funny.
Well, it was funny. As I told you, it was when Father Sean was very new here. So that kind of gives you the date and time. And I was a Eucharistic minister. And he had, during Mass, as he was giving me communion, he had said, Greg, I need to speak to you after Mass. And I remember the first thought is, I wonder what I did to make the priest mad so quickly. And so anyway, after Mass, I went and found him in the narthex, and he asked me if I had ever thought about the diaconate. And again, I didn't really know much about it. Back then, we had Deacon Jim, who was a deacon who I loved, and Philip Jackson had just barely started formation. And I had worked with him in the baptism, and I loved him. So really, it was the two of them that I thought, well, I don't know what a deacon is, but if that's them, I'm interested. And so I told him I would go to the information meeting, and he asked me if there was anybody else I could think of. And I mentioned Bill Bradley, my good friend, who's now Deacon Bill. And so that's how we started the process.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, I want to hear a little bit about your formation as a kid, like your spiritual formation, and then also, of course, your encounter, either your first encounter
right.
with Christ or the most meaningful in your life?
You know, my story is a little bit different and probably one that you won't hear that often. My mother had gone to, again, a Houstonian, so she had gone to Incarnate Word her entire life from first grade to 12th grade and really, really loved the Catholic faith. For whatever reason, and again, she's been gone for a long time, so I'm trying to remember as a young boy. But in 1968, I got what was called my sacraments, where they did confirmation and everything together. And after that day, I remember she sat me down and she said, Greg, we won't be going to church anymore, because she was very concerned with the changes in Vatican II. And she only wanted to go to Mass in Latin. And that wasn't offered on the Air Force Base. And so we stopped going to Mass. Again, as an 8-year-old, I was like, okay, you know, I'll just go play. And so I didn't grow up in the faith at all, and really didn't set foot into a Catholic church until I started dating my wife. And she was kind of like, hey, you know, we're going to go to church. And we did. And that was really a real blessing to me that her faith pretty much dragged me along. And it's a long story, but over time, as God spoke to me in very many different ways, I started to realize that I was getting to go to church and not having to go to church. And that was just kind of, but it's a long story, but that was my upbringing.
And so when do you feel in your life that you encountered Christ in a very real way?
You know, the one I remember that when you asked me that came to mind was kind of as things are, it kind of started very innocuously. I was at a McDonald's drive-in in Chile, in a place called Antofagasta, Chile, which is up in the north. And we had been working, my friend and my worker and I, and we had stopped at McDonald's to get something to eat. And there was a man who would be called a bum, who was standing in the line yelling at the guy through the window. There's a big argument. And so I was sitting there and I was kind of wondering, like, what's going on here? You know, we're not getting anywhere because there was a screaming teacher. So I got out and the man was really, you know, we have poverty here, but poverty there is a lot different. And if you've never seen poverty outside of America, you've never seen poverty. This guy, I don't think, had probably taken a bath in years. He was in just horrible, stinking tatter. It was really bad. So I asked him, I said, excuse me, you know, what's going on? He said someone had given him some money and he wanted to get a burger. And they wouldn't let him come into the restaurant because he was so filthy. And they wouldn't serve him through the drive-thru. And so I asked the guy in the window, I said, what's going on? He said, well, sir, we have a rule that you have to be in a car to be served in the drive-thru. So I thought, well, you know, can't we do it? No. Well, so I told the gentleman, I said, well, sir, if you'll just move aside just for a moment, I'll pull up here and I'll order your food. And then I'll get your food and I'll hand it to you. And he was like, well, he goes, I only have enough food for like a ham. I said, don't worry about it. We'll go ahead and feed you too. Don't worry about it. You know, and I asked her, and everybody was in agreement. So I did that. And again, he was really a very, very sight to look at. And so we got him a bunch of food, and we got him a bunch of extra food and this and that. And so I gave it to him. Now I'll try to get emotional. And he was so grateful. And he was so gracious, and he put the food down, and he opened his arms. And I remember thinking, oh, man, the last thing I want to do is embrace this guy. I mean, you know, it's almost like you could see the filth on him. And I remember thinking at the same time, but if I don't, everything I've done has been worthless because I really wanted to give him his dignity. But I didn't want to hug him. So, but I thought, you know, I'm going to do it. And so I came and gave him a big hug, and they called it an embrazo. I mean, it's like they pound your back. And, you know, I'm like pounding his back in dust and dirt, and I'm thinking, oh. But when I finished, I stood back, and I'll never forget his eyes. Good. His eyes were the most beautiful, blue, clear I've ever seen. And he looked me in the face, and it was the face of Jesus. And I was like, whoa. And we said a couple more pleasantries. His whole manner had changed. He was just nothing but peace and tranquility and love. Even my coworker, who was not, he kind of like, man. And I got in the car. I just remember thinking, A, thank God I hugged him. B, what a lesson to remember that Christ comes to us when we least expect it. And three, just the dignity of all of us. So that was, I believe, my biggest encounter with Christ when I saw the face of Christ looking at me. There you go.
And how old were you?
Oh, my goodness. I was in formation. I was probably, I don't remember, 45, 46, something like that. But I'll never forget those eyes.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. And,
yeah.
And how do you think, for you, I mean, you're already in formation, did that change you in any way? Because you're already taking those steps to be closer to Christ.
I know that had I not been in formation, I wouldn't have done that. I would have probably looked at him with different eyes. And so that was good. And it just made me realize again that in a real special way that we're all God's children. You know, as I tell people, we all got the same daddy. I don't care what we look like, where we're from, what language we speak. We're all children. We're all brothers and sisters. And so that made me think about that a lot more. And what a wonderful world it would be if we could all live like that. But it really made me feel that everybody I meet is my family. And I should treat them like that. So I think it helped me a lot in my ministry. You know, when maybe it was times where it was difficult to minister, or maybe people were difficult to minister to, it made me just realize, Greg, don't judge by what they look or even what they say or what they do. God loves them, and He loves them perfectly. And so you love them because you love Him, and they're a family. So I think it made me a better minister. I hope it did. Mm-hmm. I hope it did.
That's amazing. Is there anything else you want to add? Or?
No, that's about it. That's about it. I just wish I had the ability to paint and could paint that guy's eyes, because you just, like I said, I don't have the words to describe what his face looked like.
And you say your friend in the car.
Yeah, he could tell something was going on. You could feel something. Yeah, and it was amazing because, you know, again, and I'm trying to remember it, he was acting like he was crazy. He was acting, you know, unstable with this and that. And after that, he was totally calm, totally cool, very fluent speaking. And it's kind of like, hey, wait a minute. This is, and I just remember thinking, you know, I think, you know, he might have been an angel. I don't know, but he was something. Yeah. But it was beautiful. And I was very honored to have that encounter with Christ.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for.
You're welcome.
I mean, that's the story, that just one of simplicity and just like sheer amazement. And
right. Beauty, you know? Sorry, I cried, but no, when God touches me, I cry.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know, it's interesting. It's completely off the subject, but as I told you, I grew up unchurched, and I grew up in a military family, and my father was very much old school military, and men did not cry. And so I grew up very unemotional, very, never cried ever. I mean, ever. And it was interesting that when God touched me and began to form, I began to cry all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was something I actually had to really think and pray about, because I remember thinking, I got to stop this, because how can I minister? Mm-hmm. You know, how can I minister to somebody if I'm, you know, and then I was assigned, which is, I guess, God has sent you, I was assigned to the cancer ward over at Memorial for 2 years. And the first day or two, I was worthless, because I'd go in and there'd be a young boy dying and I'd burst out in tears and this and that. And I really had to think, you know, I need to, it's not about me, it's about them. But when God touches me, I cry. And it's, I think it's a humbling experience for me, and I've just accepted it now. It used to bother me, but now I'm like, ah, big deal, you know. And I hug people all the time, and so that's just the way it goes.
Thank you for listening to Stories of Encounter. For more stories like Greg's, visit storiesofencounter.org.